welcome to another edition of the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as usual, your host for the show. We're joined this week by two guests, familiar names in the Canadian channel community, to talk us through the latest strategic moves for their companies. First of all, we're joined by Roy Pirtle, Vice President of Cloud Computing at Cisco Canada. Cisco boosted its cloud strategy in a big way with the debut of the InterCloud strategy at its partner summit earlier this year. And Roy joins us to discuss the company's latest moves in the space, which includes more Canadian partners on the InterCloud and a key element of the strategy launching product-wise, the Cisco InterCloud Fabric. We recorded our chat a little earlier this month, so please keep that in mind that when we talk about this week in our conversation, the time frame is actually more at the beginning of the month, so a lot of the things that we're talking about are already in place. After that, we take you live, via recording, of course, to Citrix's Mobility Toronto event last week, from whence we are joined by Michael Murphy, head of Citrix Canada, for a discussion on the company's latest mobile strategy details, including its new software-defined workplace concept, because, of course, we need some more software-defined stuff, and the role partners play in its push for broader mobility, which is, of course, a very serious topic in the channel right now. That's the rundown. Let's get right into it, shall we? All right, joining us now is Roy Pirtle, Vice President of Cloud for Cisco Canada. Roy, it's been a busy week at Cisco on the InterCloud front. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thanks, Rob. Thanks for the opportunity. Yes, it has. We made some significant announcements on Monday. So, great progress being made. So it's all good.
Probably one of the biggest items, at least in terms of the strategy and the product side of the InterCloud story, is getting the InterCloud Fabric out there. And what does it mean to you guys and what you create with InterCloud to get the Fabric out there in the market and really start to execute on this concept?
Well, you know, Rob, it's really exciting to have this capability in the market for both our customers and our partners, because companies and organizations are really wrestling of how they can get control of cost and scale of the shadow IT problem. Uh-huh. InterCloud Fabric allows those IT teams to become service brokers, allowing workloads to move between different hypervisor types, such as Hyper-V, Xen, VMware, or OpenStack, to different types of public clouds, such as Cisco Secure Powered Cloud, or AWS or Google, for example. So therefore, they can match the right application or workload to the right type of qualities around security, scale, quality of service, or even price. Not only can they have the portability in, but they can also have portability out, so it gives them true choice.
And as I understand it, InterCloud Fabric is sort of the secret sauce there, the piece that makes it all happen. Getting it out there in the market, what can we expect sort of from here in terms of executing on the strategy?
So first off, yes, you're right. It is the glue, the secret sauce, if you will. It enables Cisco to realize the vision we've had for a network of clouds with our partners to build out what we see as the Internet of Clouds, which is going to be a platform for transforming industries and government through, you know, applications around the Internet of Everything over time. So what, you know, we've made a good start with the ecosystem in Canada. We'd already announced Dimension Data and SunGard as InterCloud partners previously. Both have thriving businesses here in Canada. And on Monday, we added three more with Longview Systems, Onyx, and CGI. It's a really good start for us, and we're planning to have many more in the future. We've got 33 partners who can sell their Cisco Power offerings into Canada today, so a good number of these partners are in discussions to move to be an InterCloud partner.
All right. We also saw for the first time distributors brought to the table, and that includes all three of whom have presence here in Canada with Ingram Tech Data and Westcon's Comstore Group. What role do you see distributors playing in the InterCloud strategy?
So the distributors will become what we're calling Cisco-powered aggregators, and so the idea is that we have a mixture of services from both applications that they provide or sell into the channel, but also applications from our partners, our Cisco-powered partners, and also Cisco applications that they can put into their catalog and aggregate and get out to the wider community so that we can scale this thing.
Right on. All right. You know, at any given time, you can probably talk about Cisco being in the mode of acquiring at least one organization. It is an inquisitive company, intends to have that going on. But in recent months and since the Intercloud rollout, you've made a couple of at least a couple of key acquisitions in the space. Can you kind of walk us through what you guys have added to the cloud story at Cisco over the last few months and how you see those new pieces fitting in?
Sure, absolutely. We acquired Tailf. It's one of the a little bit more quiet. Some people may have missed this one, but this one to me is a really important acquisition. It accelerates cloud virtualization strategy while, you know, pushing a long-standing commitment to open standards and more importantly, multi-vendor. So it actually allows us to. Tailf is a leading provider of multi-network service orchestration solutions for both traditional and virtualized networks. So that fits into our cloud orchestration architecture for a lot of service providers where they've got more than just Cisco in the network. So for us, that's a real big one. And actually, the default config orchestration for so many of the existing network providers is 7 of the largest 10 network vendors are their customers. They've got multiple Tier 1 service provider customers too. Yeah, we also acquired and closed on Monday, actually, MetaCloud. MetaCloud deploys and operates private clouds for organizations. In fact, they're the leading provider of OpenStack private clouds as a service to the marketplace. So that brings a lot of talent to Cisco, and you know they've already sort of shown their experience through deployments in large-scale web companies such as Yahoo, Google, Ticketmaster, and that's helped them develop automation tools that better manage the capabilities for cloud services. So they're also an active member of OpenStack, contributing several code releases to the OpenStack effort. So it's a very good acquisition for us.
All right. You know, you touched on, you know, some of the new members of the program from a Canadian perspective in terms of the Onyxes and Longviews of the world that are building out their own cloud services on the Cisco-powered cloud platforms. But what are you seeing in terms of activity on the side of those who might be in a more reseller mode of some of these services or your own services? How is it going getting partners who are going to be more in that resale and solution delivery kind of mode rather than rolling their own cloud services signed up for the intercloud movement?
Well, we're just starting to see the momentum build. And you know, so part of our gold accreditations now include the need to have four cloud services in the portfolio. And many of the smaller resellers don't have the capital to invest in building out these solutions. So what they've done is they've gone to other Cisco-powered partners and found ways of partnering, and that traditional resale model is being set up, and that's working quite well. We're at the early stages, but across North America, we've got multiple hundreds of these reseller agreements set up. And so, you know, take, for example, someone who's very specialized in communications, they're necessarily don't want to get into the infrastructure business, so they've teamed up with someone, and then they've got an offering for their loyal customers. It works very well when you get the symbiotic nature of that relationship right.
Right on. So we can expect to see continued efforts to sign up folks on that front?
Absolutely. We're going to hold more events, almost like dating services, bringing together the Cisco-powered partners and also the Cisco-powered resellers in the future over this next couple of months.
That sounds like a good idea. Additionally, in this round of Intercloud announcements, we saw another $1 billion thrown into the pot in terms of financing available through Cisco Capital to help build out both these solutions and the infrastructure. So clearly, if you're a partner that is building out your own cloud infrastructure, you'll have access to some of that to help that happen. But for those resellers who are in that, or those partners who are in that more resale mode, how can they get access to this funds and how can they use it to help their customers?
Well, they'll need to contact their Cisco partner account manager to get access to it and start that conversation. But, you know, Cisco Capital have done some good stuff here. They've developed some new attractive programs to ease the CapEx or indeed OpEx burden of investing and standing up cloud offers for both the partners and also potentially for their customers, which are net new. So it's an attractive proposition. I won't go into details here, but they can certainly find out from their partner account manager all about those.
All right, perfect. Anything else you want to throw in on the role of partners in the intercloud strategy? How do you see it moving forward from here?
You know, that's interesting. It's a great question because there's many roles that they can play. In fact, you know, it's not limited to one role. They can be a Cisco-powered partner. They can be a Cisco-powered intercloud partner. They can be an intercloud builder. They can be a full alliance partner. They can provide applications to us, technology to us, be consultants to our customers. Yeah, we've got the aggregator program, or they can be just standard resellers. So, I mean, there's a world of opportunities for the partners out there.
It's sort of pick your shot and not necessarily pick just one shot.
Absolutely.
All right. Roy, appreciate your taking the time. Thanks for joining us, and good luck with continuing to roll out the intercloud strategy.
Thanks indeed.
All right, we are here at Citrix Mobility Toronto event, and I'm chatting with Michael Murphy, Vice President and I believe General Manager of Citrix Canada. Is that accurate, Mike?
That's close enough, Robert. Yeah.
Whatever that. Thanks for taking the time.
No, thank you.
So here at the event, we kind of had for the first time partners and customers hearing about hearing the term software defined workplace, and certainly over the last 18 months to 2 years, we've seen an explosion of software defined, whether it's you know, starting with networking and then software-defined data center, software-defined storage. It seems the push is for everything to be software-defined. Can you outline in Citrix's terms what is the software-defined workplace?
Yeah, I mean, software-defined is obviously an industry term to suggest that hardware is somewhat independent. It doesn't matter what hardware is being run. People may not own it anymore. It may be cloud-based. It may be off-prem. It may be hosted by somebody else. But what really matters is the software that people are buying and deploying and creating that provides the same services that used to be more monolithic or maybe proprietary are more open and providing a wider breadth, kind of an oxymoron, but a wider breadth of access to tools and technologies beyond the hardware to give them what they need, which is access to their apps and data.
All right. We heard about it sort of as an adjunct or an addition to the idea of the software-defined data center, i.e. the former or software-defined data center being the infrastructure piece of it, abstracting physical hardware and networking equipment, whereas the workplace was sort of abstracting the work tools and the work environment itself. How do the two work together?
Well, abstracting, I think, the hardware, the infrastructure. I mean, so many customers today, and we hear, I hear it from them, I hear it from our partners, are really looking for ways that they don't want to own things anymore. They want that utility model, just like we have in our houses, where we pay a monthly fee or a subscription to get some service delivered. And so as people migrate from owning monolithic data centers on-prem, owning the hardware, outsourcing it, I'll throw in the word cloud because, you know, it's a delivery mechanism. It's a hosting model. Whether it be a off-prem private cloud, essentially an off-prem data center, but an off-prem private cloud, it's really there to deliver the infrastructure that's abstracted or transparent to what people are trying to do, which is whatever device they have, whatever operating system is somewhat irrelevant. They want that same experience, the same look and feel, the same ability of customization to make it their own. It's about choice, and it's about individuals choosing how they want to consume compute and providing them, again, access to their apps and data in a very seamless, transparent, and individual way to them.
All right. We're at least a good couple of years into sort of the mobility being the full-on story at Citrix, the full-on focus. How is that changing how you focus your partners and potentially who your partners are in the marketplace?
Yeah, Citrix is still very partner-focused. The only way, certainly in Canada, we're going to reach the customers that we want across all of our geographies, across all of our market segments and verticals, is through our partner network. Now, we have lots of longstanding partners who have grown up with us over the last 25 years who have been in the remote access, the desktop virtualization, application virtualization space. Some of them want to extend their portfolio and come with us to embrace mobility and networking, and some don't. That means, to me, it allows us to inject new partners who may be focused or specialize in networking. Some may specialize in cloud. A lot of partners are looking for ways today where they can stand up their own data centers and provide a hosting option to customers who don't want to own and manage their own stuff and just rent it or lease it or subscribe to it on a monthly or annualized basis. So it's partner recruitment, focusing on what partners want to do, knowing that some partners won't want to do everything, which affords me the opportunity to go out and meet new partners and bring them into the Citrix ecosystem.
You know, you mentioned, and I don't think you used the exact term, but the term that was used frequently in the keynote was don't own stuff. And it certainly resonates well for Citrix and what you guys are trying to do as a business. But I think it also resonates pretty well for a lot of solution providers who've been looking to add or grow their business around whether it's cloud, as you say, or whether it's managed services, sort of managing that side of thing. How is that focus sort of impacted what your partners are doing and who you're partnering with?
Well, it's true, customers don't want to own stuff, right? If you look at businesses, there's a capital expense to acquiring hardware. Hardware rusts out over time. I don't mean physically, but, you know, metaphorically rusts out. And so what customers have over time is they have multiple versions of different hardware that consume different power requirements that are somewhat incompatible with the latest hardware they may buy. So at the end of the day, what customers want is compute. They want to buy compute power, they want to buy bandwidth, they want to buy CPU cycles, whatever it might be, and what better way to deliver that than in a hosting environment? Leave all of what's behind the curtain, behind the glass door of the data center to somebody else to manage, and what I consume, very much to the analogy of the utility model, is I just have a pipe into my house, and I get electricity, I get water, I get whatever it might be, from whatever infrastructure that's put in place by whatever third party I choose, whether it's, you know, a small local partner who may be providing some hosting service or a large multi-global national system integrator. It really doesn't matter at the end of the day. Those relationships still need to be managed from the customer back. But at the end of the day, the customer doesn't have to worry about building big data centers. They just have to worry about what they consume from a service level perspective.
All right. Here in Canada right now, what do you see as your biggest focuses as Citrix, the biggest opportunities you have and the biggest opportunities you're sort of pointing partners at and see for them in the marketplace?
I think the biggest opportunity is truly what we're here in Toronto today for, which is mobility. I think application virtualization, remote access, as it was previously called, or desktop virtualization, is mature. You know, Citrix has been the market leader for some time. Almost 65%+ aggregated market share in the application desktop virtualization space. I'm not saying that's saturated. I think there's opportunity for growth as people look to deliver more apps. But the way they're delivering them is not to a traditional thin client or monolithic desktop. They're delivering those apps and desktops to whatever the device of the day is, whether it be a phone or a tablet or even a hybrid device like a phablet, kind of right in the middle. And so customers still looking at application desktop virtualization as an opportunity, but the delivery mechanism is slightly different from the way they were delivered before to devices that may be owned by individuals. And those devices are very, very different from operating system to operating system. Again, it's about that individual choose your own device, bring your own device, about choice. Companies need to find a way to deliver their apps, the corporate apps, to whatever device on whatever platform, and at the same time, provide secure access back to the data that makes those devices and the individual productive.
All right. Mobility, sort of like cloud, and the two are obviously closely linked on a lot of fronts, but mobility like cloud is a journey for many solution providers, probably a little bit less so for some of the Citrix channel because of the nature of the beast and the nature of the organizations that they're going after. But I'm curious what you see, and not naming names if you don't want to, but what do you see as sort of best practice, or what are the really good mobile partners doing that differentiates them?
Yeah, so the partners that are doing well with embracing mobility are, you know, looking at it that it's not something they can start from day one and deploy a full-blown integrated cross-functional solution on day two.
Sure.
I think they have to approach it very pragmatically and look at, well, what are customers looking for today in the marketplace? And most mobility solutions in Canada are there to be different, to maybe have a departure from BlackBerry, which was that traditional, here's a mobile platform that's secure, that is there to deliver email and maybe web content. So how do I take those minimal things and get those onto a new device? So partners that are successful are going into customers and talking about, well, one is, if it's BYOD or choose your own device, how do I manage the device? So basic table stakes, MDM, mobile device management. Mm-hmm. Next level up, well, we want to provide a similar experience to secure or containerized email and web browsing. So it's our Works app, Works Home, Works Web, Works Mail. So providing basic email, basic web browsing securely from that device, containerized from the individual's portion of the device or the native clients on whether it be an iPhone or an Android device. And then that, you know, that's kind of phase two. And then phase three, or phase two and a half, if you will, 2A versus 2B, is what are the purpose-built apps that I want to get out to the device? So how do I take those from my data center? How do I wrap them? How do I containerize them? And how do I deploy those? Then there may be one or two apps that employees need to have access to, a payroll system or an HR system or maybe a legal system or some tracking system. And so I think that 2B or phase three, however you want to differentiate it, is the core corporate apps that are now ready to be mobilized. Not all apps are, not all apps that you're used to doing on a Mac or on a PC, the form factor of a phone might not bode well for the app. So until the apps are rewritten or managed appropriately, mm-hmm. I think phase three is the low-hanging fruit of a couple of apps need to be deployed. And then I think the more complicated one is how do I take the true desktop environment, that monolithic environment, and provision that wrapped, secure, access from anywhere on any device over any network? How do I provide that? And that's the more complicated part. I think before companies embrace that, and here's how partners are helping them, is asking customers to rationalize their apps. Even a small customer, you'd be surprised that a small customer, 100-person shop, might have 20 apps inside their environment.
Yeah.
You imagine a large bank or a government entity or even a mid-sized company, thousands of apps. Large financial institutions, tens of thousands of apps. Mm-hmm. Not all of those need to make their way into the mobility play. Some should have been retired a long, long time ago. And this whole app rationalization helps custom banks and customers and institutions figure out what it is they need to go forward with.
All right. To some degree, it seems like there are a number of areas that partners have to focus in to be really good at mobility. To what degree, therefore, does sort of scale of partner play a role in the ability to address those needs?
I think with mobility, right, partners want to focus on the device, and I think that might be an important piece, but I think it's a bit of a tangent that they shouldn't pursue. At the end of the day, the devices are going to be the devices. Mm-hmm. Customers are going to buy whatever suits their budget, their lifestyle, the way they want to work, maybe what their social group has. So focusing on devices, I think, isn't that important. It's a bit of a tangent. I think what partners to be successful need to focus on is that core application business. How do I rationalize the apps? How do I wrap the apps? How do I provision those apps? No different than they were before. How do I make sure they're mobile ready? And then the second part that's important in mobility is the networking component. Because we're dealing with the security aspect of mobility back to corporate data, and it's about focusing and getting network access securely back to the data and the apps.
All right. Brilliant. Any parting shots for the Canadian channel before we wrap this up?
No parting shots. Citrix still wants to continue to embrace and recruit and develop and spend time with partners. It's the only way, certainly. And I'm not naive to the marketplace in Canada. It's the only way I can get from Victoria to St. John's and every point in between, given the landscape of how our customers buy, where our customers are located, and I need the channel to come along for that ride.
All right. Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Robert.
So there you have it. Another edition of the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast just about in the books. Before I sign off, I'd like to thank Roy and Michael for joining us on the podcast. I'd like to also thank our sponsors, including Cisco, Ingram Micro Canada, Tech Data Canada, HP Canada, Avnet Technology Solutions, and StorageCraft for making it all possible. And, of course, thank you for listening in today. We'll be back with another ChannelBuzz.ca podcast in the near future, and pretty soon, I guess, we'll be into our annual reviews and previews season, which is always fun. But until then, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca, and I will see you around the channel.